Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. After AEW Dynamite show, and have we got a show for you. We're talking all about the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. We're talking about MJF running wild, and we're talking about Mariah May having to make a choice. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by George Hermosa, as well as special guest Matt Kuhn. Matt, how are you today?
I am fantastic, Jack Farmer. Back on Wrestling Inc. with George, and of course with you. So we're going to have a really good time.
Yeah, we should have a good one. George, I see you're reading about the Road Warriors.
Hold on. Did you know that the Road Warriors and Legion of Doom are the same people?
They're not. That's just a myth.
Mind blown.
Well, we got a lot to get into today. I'm excited to chat about it. Of course, today is a holiday. It is Juneteenth. It's a holiday that has been going on for a very long time, but it's the newest of the federal holidays here in the U.S. And so if you don't know what it is the day that we celebrate the delayed news of freedom reaching the enslaved people of Galveston, Texas. And I think it's always a great reminder that even if you feel like you have victory in freedom and equality, there's always more to go and more to do. So very, very important day. Happy Juneteenth. Let's talk about some news in pro wrestling. We start with some injury news, but not the bad kind of injury news, the good kind of injury news, the news of people coming back. AEW star Kota Ibushi said on Twitter, quote, "Of course, if my current doctor in Japan tells me that I can't compete, I will report to AEW and return immediately. I am now 85% alive. Please wait a little more." Matt, 85% sounds like Kota may be making his return very soon.
He has had such a bad run with injuries. Even when he came back with AEW, he did not look like the same dude. So let's hopefully Kota, who's known for being reckless and known for maybe being cavalier with his body, maybe take your time, buddy. Come back at full strength. A full Kota is better than a hurt Kota.
Yeah, George, this is a company that has a lot of stars kind of making their return. The top of the card is starting to look pretty strong. Kota would be a big addition to AEW right now if he's able to come back.
Yeah, especially I kind of want to see what he can do maybe without that Kenny Omega presence in AEW. He's been kind of handcuffed in those kind of storylines. When Omega needs somebody, it feels like Kota is, you know, one of the first guys that he calls. So I want to see how he does without that kind of affiliation with Kenny Omega. I'm really excited to see. I've known him for a long time. I feel like he got a lot more exposure after the Cruiserweight Classic. So I'm very excited to see Kota Ibushi eventually back, hopefully soon.
Everyone in the chat, obviously, once you're done with your likes, your comments, your shares, and subscribes, let me know that what you think of Kota returning and what you would like to see from Kota. We also have some other interesting news as it comes to people returning, and that is Hangman Adam Page. According to Fightful Select, Page is expected to be back in the company within the next month, likely by early July. Page has not been out of action due to injury, but rather for personal reasons, and had time off to tend to them. Fightful reported he was always meant to be absent for the current amount of time. George, again, this is somebody who I feel like is plug right into that main event scene if you need to, or can fill in somewhere else. Another big return if it happens, right, as they get ready for Wembley.
Yeah, it does look like 2024 is going to be the year of returns. We just saw MJF come back a couple weeks ago. Kenny Omega's out. Looks like we're seeing Adam Page coming back very, very soon. Hopefully we'll see Adam Cole, before the end of the year. I'm really excited to see what Adam Page is going to do. They had that storyline where he was, suspended or fired by the Elite. But I'm kind of bummed because if he comes back and goes against the Elite, I was kind of digging this heel persona that he was having right before he disappeared for a little bit. Now with Swerve as champion, I think there's a whole new wrinkle that could be turned into the main event scene of AEW.
Matt, what are your thoughts on Adam Page coming back? Do you want to see him go back to the fan beloved Adam Page? Do you want him to stay on that bad guy side of things? Do you want him to see him fight the Elite or join the Elite?
Well, I would like to see a focused and consistent Adam Page, and we've yet to see that. We've seen this kind of vacillating character. It's kind of all over the place and goes back and forth. And now heavily damaged by Swerve, heavily damaged by that entire feud. Luckily for him, his personal issues, hope they're okay, completely, as you said, coincided with their plans to keep him off air anyway. What kind of happenstance is that? But now that he's coming back, man, I just hope whatever they do, they do. Because Hangman could be a big guy for them. But man, I can't make hide nor hair of anything about his character, what he stands for, what he believes in, what he wants to do.
Well, Adam Page, I've not been shy about saying one of my favorites over the past few years. So I'm definitely glad he's back. But I agree with you. I think that the way the Swerve rivalry went did not make him look great. I think Swerve came out looking great. I think that in a way, Adam Page was a unfortunate victim of that rivalry. So hopefully, I'm one of those people, I would be totally okay if he came back and they just pretended that never happened and they just moved on and he was back to old Adam Page. George, I see you smiling there. Are you okay with them in a situation like this pretending something didn't happen to get back on track, or do you think they need to mention why he left and what happened?
I think with AEW, and it kind of a little unfortunate as well, where it comes to they're criticized for a lot of things that maybe they shouldn't be criticized for, or maybe they should be criticized for. But I feel like they need to be very careful with not giving people a reason to, criticize negatively in some ways. So I'd like for them to kind of acknowledge where, and they don't have to be legit about it. They can just kind of acknowledge, like, hey, he took some time off because he was fired or whatever the Elite did. But I don't want to see them ignore everything is what I guess what I'm trying to say.
Was me, I'd plug him right in there against the Elite. I think he's a perfect foil for them right now. I think him being more of a man of the people versus the guys who sold out would be a story I would like to see. But that's just me. I'm sure they got plans for him.
I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit, cool, if you don't mind, Jack.
Yeah, go ahead.
And even if you do.
How dare you?
So Hangman's problem is that it's an inconsistent character. So he needs to come back. Whatever he does, he's coming after Swerve. That's the only way to redeem his character at all. He has to be on whatever side Swerve is on, he's on the other side. And that's the main thing for him, is Swerve, Swerve, Swerve.
But you don't think that's just going to remind everybody the L's he took so many L's in a row if he does that?
We all know it. It just needs to show that it matters to him. We can't have a character who goes, who's just like, well, that's that. That happened. I got killed and destroyed, and a man cut a promo on my baby. I didn't even care. But, you know, he, if you want to save the Hangman Page character, what his motivation needs to be reclaiming his manhood and getting a piece of Swerve.
Well, we'll have to see what that is. What exactly happens? Swerve seems to have his plate full right now, and I'm not even talking about what's going on in the ring and in AEW, which we will get to. I'm talking about things like Hollywood knocking on his door. In fact, it was announced that he's going to be part of a documentary. Deadline reports that the partnership between Strickland and rapper Fresh Garments will be the subject of an upcoming documentary, currently untitled. It'll tell the story of Strickland and Garment's collaboration from its beginning following Strickland's release of WWE in 2021 and Garment's disassociation with Kanye West to work on Strickland's AEW theme song, which is credited for helping put Swerve on his path to the world title. No release date was announced at this time. Matt, I'm going to double back to you on this one. Obviously, wrestling crossing over into TV and documentaries and things is growing faster than ever. It's always a good thing. I think this is a great thing for Swerve because it's going to help people attach how they feel about him. They're going to know about him more now, and I think this is just a good thing for the guy.
Yeah, Swerve needs to cut away his little corner of AEW, his little part that he resides in, autonomous from everybody else, being a featured act if he's not the champion, and figuring the best way to make himself a big deal. And a documentary's not a bad idea. He's very compelling and intriguing off-screen as he is on-screen. So, for it.
Yeah, I am excited to see this. I'm excited to see how it goes. George, what are your thoughts? Are you going to go out and see the Swerve Strickland documentary?
I guess it depends where it's playing. I'm more of a let's wait until it's on streaming kind of guy. But this can't be anything but a W for them. Anything that they can do, especially in this professional weird professional wrestling business where they can get more coverage from whatever, you know, they're currently presented, which is a lot of the Turner networks, whenever we can see more, just give us more outside of wrestling. I think it's always going to be a W. I always go back to like the talk show stuff, right? Where one of the reasons why I started watching like Conan O'Brien is because Yokozuna was on it back in 93. But it just goes to show that like if you're on that circuit, if you're on that, on those eyeballs, then that's a big deal to me. It's no secret how often we see WWE on like Jimmy Fallon and all those talk show circuits. So if we can get some of the AEW guys in that element, I think it'd be fantastic. And this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, hopefully we get to see more of this stuff. I always say the more you can know about someone, the more you're going to care about them. And the more you care about them, the more you're going to pay to see them wrestle. So all good stuff there. AEW and Reebok are collaborating on a sneaker tribute to Brody Lee. Soul Retriever reports that AEW and Reebok are set to release classics leather Brody Lee sneakers on July 1st. As the name gives away, the sneaker is a tribute to late AEW star and former TNT champion Brody Lee. Photos of the sneaker show that it's mostly covered in black with purple trim on the lower heel, purple and gold on the upper heel, and the Dark Order logo on the tongue. The sneaker will be available for purchase for $90 in-store at Champ Sports and online starting July 1st. George, are you a sneakerhead? Or are you going to get a pair of Brody Lees?
I'm not a sneakerhead, but if it look, I am a fan of colorful shoes. Something that kind of stands out, something that's kind of bright. But yeah, I mean, I think this is still pretty cool. You always look back at, you know, not that Chuck Taylor, but the shoes Chuck Taylor's. And it's just kind of become so synonymous with like, hey, like, you know, I like your Chucks or I like this, I like that. If this can be maybe for wrestling, hey, I like your Brodies. Like, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Matt, are you going to pick up some Brodies? I'll be honest, I'm a Nike guy, but...
Well,
you know,
I mean, who could blame you? I'm a Jordans guy. If you see me out in the wild, you'll see me wearing a pair of Jordans. Could be any color, could be any. I love my Jordans. So I'm very, loyal in that regard. I think it's great for AEW. It's great for Brody Lee. They also absolutely do not make them in my size. So, I looked at getting the Bucks ones as kind of a rib, but they don't make them in like... I think they make them in 13s, which which is good for you, Jack. But for me, I'm like four sizes bigger.
Well, facts, look, people. Now, the Brody Lees should be, if they're Brody Lees, they need to come in pretty big sizes. Otherwise, is it really a tribute? Come on. They got to be big enough to fit Brody Lee.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could hang the Reeboks, the Young Bucks Reeboks off my rearview mirror.
We got Maria saying Adidas checks over stripes.
And the fact that it's Reebok, I think, is a really big deal as well. I don't want to undersell the fact that what you can say maybe the second or third biggest brand for shoes in the world.
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big signing for them. And it's a big deal that they get these, and it's cool that they're making them. And it's just another thing. I always like to say that the more stuff that wrestling gets into outside of wrestling, the better it is for pro wrestling. Because obviously, as we know, wrestling can become a little bit of a bubble. And sometimes that bubble is no fun. And if you can get out of it, it makes it more fun. Speaking of fun, let's talk about this week's Dynamite. I thought this was a really fun episode. I'm excited to hear what you guys have to think. But as always, before we do, I want to ask everyone to like, comment, share, subscribe. If you're in the chat lurking like Joe C, thanks for lurking. If you're not lurking, if you're one of the people who are chatting away like I Am Error, Corey Pride, Stephen Camp, Blue Chew, Lisa Brew, Huffman Elite Training, Daniel Berry, KOD, Burner Account, Laura Rock, and everybody else, lots, Adonde, everyone's here, Matt. We got the whole crew today.
It's fantastic. And if all those people just hit like, subscribe, we'd appreciate it. And if you don't want to do it for me, do it for Jack Farmer. Come on, look at him. Look at him. Who'd he ever hurt?
Do it for me. Josh Zim saying, I like AEW, stalking you with the dog emoji.
I like AEW too, Josh Zim.
So that's good. This is a... this is good. We shouldn't be on this show if we don't like AEW, at least to some degree, right? Donda says, do it for Jack. I'll take it. Let's talk about the start of this show.
I like you say Adonde, as if that's the way you say it.
It's how do I say it?
Adonde.
Adonde? Adonde. Is that how
well, it's
I
like,
say
well,
it?
Well, it's because it's like Adonde Estas. Like, where are you in Spanish?
Oh, Adonde Estas.
But Adonde is a great name, to be honest with you.
I am flabbergasted, as the kids say. Adonde? How do I say it?
Adonde.
Adonde Estas. Mm-hmm. Adonde. Oh, my goodness.
You know, Jack.
Adonde, I'm so sorry. I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
You know, Jack, I always wondered where I would be when I heard the whitest thing ever. And now I know. It's when you speak Spanish. I love it.
Adonde Estas. A friend of the show, Flobo Boyce, has it. No, Flobo Boyce has a video of me singing the Rey Mysterio entrance theme. And let me tell you, that is the whitest thing you've ever heard in your life.
Wait, which one? The first one or the second one? Who's Buyuka, that jumping Buyuka. Out? Just, oh, the
no. Okay. That's my Pueblo. MJF versus Rush. Roosh went down. I'm not going to mispronounce Roosh. Zook said, whitest thing ever on Juneteenth.
So do you call him Leo Roosh?
I don't, but do you?
I mean, I will now. There's got to be some consistency with this.
Armando saying, Jack, can we get a booyaka? Booyaka, booyaka. 619.
My God.
This is going to be a great show, guys.
We got to get the show back on the road here. Anyway, story of the match here. Roosh didn't like MJF calling a shot after being gone for a long time. We get to the match. It starts as a brawl, and Roosh gets the upper hand here at first during the brawling. Crowd's hot for the match. It's hard hitting. Eventually, MJF comes back and gets the win. Post-match, Brian Cage says the Elite are booking MJF versus Hechicero. Now I'm about to say every name, George. For Forbidden Door, but Excalibur says it's not official until Christopher Daniels says it. Matt, I'm going to pass it to you. I'm tired of being the butt of the joke for not being able to speak. What are your overall thoughts of this opening contest?
It's always fun to watch Roosh wrestle because you always wonder, is the guy he's wrestling a big enough star that Roosh doesn't take liberties with? And in the case with MJF, he is the kind of star that you cannot take liberties with. So he did the easy Roosh match. He didn't destroy him too much. There's no story at all. None. No story. And there's a million better ways they could have brought in MJF. There's a million better ways they could have got this match more compelling to see. It was fine. It was good. You know, it was good, you know, but I would have liked them to work a little bit harder to make it a must-see match.
I kind of disagree there, George. I want your thoughts, because I'm not saying it was the greatest way MJF could have. And Matt, I'm sorry. I don't know if it's on my end or yours, but I'm having trouble hearing you. So I'm sorry if I...
Am I still low? Am I low right now? Can you hear me right now?
On my end, it's like the connection's bad.
The connection's bad.
I think everyone else can hear you. It might just be on my end.
How about now? Same.
Okay, now it's good. Now you're it was like cutting out a little bit.
Okay, I might have had a loose mic cord. No, still bad.
George, was he coming through okay for you? Maybe
check.
Is it weird that I hear you both perfectly fine and haven't had any issues? There was a couple times where you kind of talked over each other, but it's been fine.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a delay, a 10-second. Yeah, like we just did. Yeah.
I thought the match was great, guys.
Is your headphone plugged all the way in? Because sometimes if it's not stereo, you can't hear the other person very well. Is that better?
Well, the video is choppy, too.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you guys talk.
Like, the video's choppy. It's like I can't, like the internet connection's bad.
I'm going to go ahead and log out and log back in while you guys talk about, and I will catch up as soon as I can.
All right. Well, and if it's not you, it's me, and I'll try it next time. But for now, George, we'll try to get some order here. Sonny Sitar says it's Okada's fault for the audio. Good call there. MJF versus Roosh. I actually liked how this went because I thought they're trying to show MJF as a guy who can fight, a guy who can fight through get beat up, continue to push through. I think that showed tonight. How did you think this went with Roosh being the first opponent for MJF? And should they save it for a pay-per-view?
As I mentioned before, I think they should have saved it for a pay-per-view, I think. Or not maybe this specific match, because like Matt said, I wasn't really too much of a big fan of how this match came about. It just felt a little random, to be honest with you. It kind of felt very SummerSlam 07 when Booker T just randomly started calling Triple H when Triple H was coming back from his injury. I think it could have been done a little bit better as far as just randomly having Roosh out there than them having beef. I thought the match was fine. My only beef with it was MJF playing a little too much to the crowd, especially when he just kind of said a couple weeks ago when he wasn't going to do that. He was just going to be him, that we're not going to see any more kangaroo kicks or double clotheslines or whatnot. He's kind of shying away from that, you know, a-hole or whatever that character was a little bit. I kind of want to see him maybe go back to his roots. I'm not saying he's got to be a heel. I'm just saying he should be more himself that he was. And that's how people kind of learn to love him and whether we like him or not because of how he is. That's for us to decide. But I thought the match was great. I love what Matt said in terms of we see two different Roshes as far as whether he should be a little more hard hitting or not. I think that's right, spot on. But yeah, I thought the match was good. As I mentioned, I think it should have been saved for the pay per view, or at least have not maybe this match, but his first match back being at the pay per view, especially with it being in his hometown.
As we bring back Matt here, hopefully this all works out.
We're gonna try it. Can you hear me?
So far, so good. We're so far, so good. So let's redo this. MJF.
Oh my God!
Roosh.
You cannot hear me, can you? Can you hear me, Jack?
What was that?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, Matt. We're good so far.
Okay.
George went silent though, but we have this MJF thing. One, I want your thoughts on this new MJF. He definitely has some new moves. One with a brainbuster. I don't think he's ever won with a brainbuster before. Does that matter? Do you like it? But also, the idea that the Elite has now booked him in a match, but also it's not official yet. Your thoughts on that?
I think the MJF character and the all that stuff he brought to it by being out is kind of been wasted a little bit. I think you could have really brought him back strong, used him a little bit more sparsely. He didn't need to have the big announce at the pay-per-view. He just ran in on a rush match or ran in to hurt the Elite. Million different ways to do it. I think MJF's going to be fine. As far as a wrestler, he's always added stuff to his repertoire. He's always adding new things. And so that's kind of consistent with what we've seen this whole time.
So I want to go back to you on this one, Matt. This was confusing to me because they come out. Brian Cage says the Elite has booked this match for Forbidden Door. And then Excalibur on commentary says it's not official until Tony Khan or Christopher Daniels say it's official, which was very odd to me. Because now I'm confused. And I don't know if that was something he was supposed to say, but now it feels like so the Elite don't have power, or Tony Khan is still booking, or Christopher Daniels. Like, I don't know who's in charge anymore, and not in a good way.
Well, art imitates life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's it's not the best put together angle in the entire world. I think they've squandered a lot of the opportunity that came with the Jack Perry thing. Made a huge mistake in doing the footage, putting the footage out. And the idea is good, you know, these guys taking over the company. But the week-to-week layout, which is AEW's weakest spot, I think, it just makes everything a little less compelling every time you see it.
Yeah, George, what are your thoughts on how this whole angle is going? I love the idea of it, but it does, to me, feel like there's something missing here, whether it's the congruency, whether it's the, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something here.
It just needs a little bit more polishing, if anything. This is kind of something that they've been missing or lacking for the last, you know, couple years, few years. And it just, because it just seems so like put together. Like, you had, was it Gates of Agony kind of coming out and say like, hey, you know, Etchicero is going to sit there and, you know, challenge MJF, whatever it is. It just, I don't know. It just, I would like for it to be a little less random. Just why? Like, why am I seeing these things? Kind of fast forwarding a little bit, even with like a Daniel Garcia, where he's coming out and said, this is what I want, and this is what I need to get there to do, or need to do to get there. Like, it's something, it's just that simple, right? Like, why is MJF, like, this guy was just the AEW champion, you know, in his previous match before Roosh. Like, shouldn't he be going after the top prize? And we kind of saw a little bit of a hint with him and Ospreay, but you know, it doesn't make sense for me to have him wrestle random guys, especially when he was such a unique commodity, you know, pretty much the last 2-3 years where he wasn't wrestling just random people. Every match had a purpose. So I do feel like they're dropping that ball a little bit with MJF.
I think it's okay to have a match like this. You know, I always say like a warm-up rivalry, something to kind of get him going again. Now, he needs to get back into some serious matches soon. He can't go from, you know, Roosh to Dante Martin to, you know, something like that. He's got to get into something soon. But I think the first one back, an easy win so he can get that momentum going again, remind us of what he can do. I get that. I'm okay with that. Now, if we're in all in and he's still in this rivalry, I'm going to be a little bummed out about it.
I mean, I know we talked a little bit earlier about them just kind of dropping storylines. Like, shouldn't he still be beefing with the Undisputed Kingdom? You had Wardlow with those vignettes kind of pretty much saying that, you know, MJF ruined his life. Where's that element thrown into it? Now we have a whole new wrench on it. Now we have Wardlow as a heel and MJF as a babyface. Give us something like that. Like, it's made for you, but instead they're just kind of throwing it away with just random matches.
Well, they did end the Undisputed Kingdom thing when he came back and he kicked Adam Cole out of the ring and said, I'm moving on. I think that's what he was literally saying. We're done with that. As far as the Wardlow thing, I get it. But at the same time, if Wardlow came back and that was his first match back and Wardlow beat MJF, we'd be like, I can't believe he came back and lost. That's bad. But then if MJF beat Wardlow, we'd be like, okay, great. But Wardlow can't get a win. What's going on here?
If Wardlow beats MJF, then that's something. That would be something I can.
I think people would be very upset if MJF returned to lose.
He did.
He did. Yeah, and he did beat MJF.
So, it's a mess right now. It's a total mess. Like, as far as if you want to be rewarded for paying attention to storyline, you have to be the most just gracious, indulgent, unsuspecting fan of all time. Just to, and also creative to be able to make sense of this. It's a mess. It's a mess, and it's one reason why AEW is failing to make the traction that they could.
Yeah, it's in general, I would say clean things up and simplify would be my overall critique of AEW. That said, we had a stare down for the future AEW championship. Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland both say they're the best in the world. They exchange a few words and Swerve decides to make it personal. Matt, walk me through this one. How did you think they sold this world title matchup?
The best they could. They did really, really good. Problem for me is that, you know, AEW runs into this problem of thinking that they're above very common storytelling tropes, such as antagonists and protagonists. You know, you don't have an antagonist, you don't have a protagonist. It's a respect match versus against two cool guys who we can cheer for, or cheer for them both. Let's have a great match. That kind of thing doesn't sell tickets. That kind of thing doesn't raise ratings. It's something that happens once in a generation. You know, Warrior Hogan, you know, that works. But man, you know, they need to both be in the ring against people hate.
I agree with the premise of what you're saying. I think this is a case where people want to see Will Ospreay versus Swerve Strickland. I think they'll sell tickets. I mean, we'll see if I'm wrong. But George, this was, I love how they did add the personal touch. Something I do like about AEW in when it's messy is the end of this felt messy with Will Ospreay leaving first and then coming back in, and then because it feels a little more real to me. It feels a little less produced when it's a little messy like this. Sometimes it goes too far. This time I liked it. Did you like how they structured this?
Yes and no. Cop-out answer. I love the way this promo was going. I was so invested. See how much a promo, how much better a promo can be when you're not taking shots to the other company, because Will Ospreay was absolutely amazing here. Swerve was absolutely amazing here. But I'm not going to say I lost it, but like I feel like they could have had something there. Because you had Swerve, you know, mention the family, which I didn't think that was that big of a deal. He's not talking smack about him. And then Ospreay was like, oh, you know, don't mention them. And then he mentions them again. He's like, hey, we're gonna take it personal. And it's like, okay, so yeah, so Will Ospreay, his way of kind of, he warned him, and so now he's gonna, you know, get in the ring and put his head up against Swerve's head. You know, I think this should have had some physicality when it came to it. I feel like Ospreay lost his chance to kind of really, you know, show a little bit more fire than just kind of huffing and puffing in someone's face. You know, even to the point where I think that maybe they could have been like, you know, a lot of our clips have gone viral in the past couple weeks, but don't expect to see that at the pay-per-view. Don't expect to see us dancing to Uptown Funk anytime soon. You know, this is going to be for the main title. And, you know, like I said, it was good. I just feel like that part where Ospreay came back in and just to huff and puff some more, I was like, oh man, you gotta do something. You got to do something more than that.
I didn't think it was egregious, but I do get what George is saying, Matt. I felt like when it happened, I felt like security should have run in really quick and stopped them, or Nana should have taken one for the team and tried to get in between them to separate them. Because I also don't think they should have. You want to avoid as much physicality as possible. But yeah, if the way that line was set up, something should have happened there that was a little more heated.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? And also thoughts on the Don Callis family not being too happy about this.
Don Callis family, again, total mess. I don't know what's going on there. Don't really care. As far as Ospreay goes, okay, dude, you cannot be like this. You can't go, hey, listen, I'll use my mean voice. Jack Farmer, if you talk about my child, for the love of God, I will take you down. And you talk about my kid, and I run back in, and I just like put my head up against your head. That's kind of a bad guy move. That's not a good guy move. That's like the dude who's daring you to hit him because he doesn't want to get beat up.
I would say though, between you're a big fella, and I'm not the toughest, so I think you putting your head against mine might get you the win. I think that might be enough.
My cardio would undo me before I took three steps.
Yeah, there's no huffing and puffing. Just one puff
I can stand there and look like a mother, but like just take three steps back, I'm done. I'll just fall over. You know, so you're fine.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, George, last thing on this, Don Callis looks like he's trying to recruit Roosh. I got to agree with Matt here. I think Don Callis is great on a microphone. I love that. I think he's great at getting people to hate him. But when I see myself, would Roosh be a good addition to Don Callis family? I don't know, because I don't really know what the Don Callis family is and what they represent and what they're doing. Kyle Fletcher seems conflicted. But I guess I still don't know what the Don Callis family is besides just a bunch of bad guys.
Yeah, it would help to kind of mention what the cause is for, right? Like, what are they there for? I'm glad that they're finally past trying to hunt down Omega and Jericho on a regular basis. But yeah, like it would be nice to kind of have some substance in behind whatever they want to do. They're all individually talented, insanely talented. But it'd be nice to kind of see. But like I mentioned before, so is everyone else on the roster. So show me why you guys are different. Show me what uniqueness you guys can provide to show that you're not just like every other person on the roster that is equally talented.
Yeah, I look at a lot of the successful groups over the past few years, and you think of in AEW, you know, the Elite. They were all part of New Japan. They were all part of the Bullet Club. That's what brings them together. They're still a group. You look at on the other, you know, side of the table, you look at the Bloodline. They're all part of a family. It's about establishing their family dominance and ruling, you know, the wrestling world via that. You look at the Wyatt Six that recently just debuted. They look creepy and murder people. So that's what they're about. But if I look at the Don Callis family and I'm seeing Kyle Fletcher, Takeshita, Hobbs, and Roosh, I don't get what that connection is. And they just went through a whole thing where they were fighting each other just to fight each other. I don't.
Like the patriarchy, I think the patriarchy does a good job at doing exactly what I just said that the Kallus family should be doing. I don't know if this is the part where maybe not having split brands would hurt it, because if this was WWE and they had split rosters, the patriarchy and Don Kallus family would not be on the same show. So I'm trying to think, like, did the patriarchy kind of take some of Kallus's heat, because we're seeing a lot less Kallus on the microphone and we're seeing a lot more Christian on the microphone.
Well, to your point, Jack, what are they there for? What do they do? Like George was saying about what's their purpose. You have you mentioned a bunch of great factions. You knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. You knew what their plan was. They were united towards something. But that's one aspect. I think the most important aspect is that Don Kallus, the question should be asked, has anybody ever benefited from being associated on screen with Don Kallus? Like Takeshita? No. Osprey? No. Fletcher? No. Hobbs? Maybe. But generally, no. So they could have 20 brand splits and it's still going to be, it's just terrible. Get rid of it. It's awful.
I think, and this will be the last thing unless you guys have something else you want to add on it, is I've always said, I think one of the misconceptions people have with managers is they take someone who needs some help getting over with the crowd and they say that's who we're going to attach a manager to. But when you look at the most successful managers, that's never the case. It's always someone who is a star and you push them over the top. You look at the people, Paul Heyman is
look at Solo. Great. Look at Solo, right?
Right. That's a good example. Heyman's, we talk about the Brock Lesnar's, the Roman Reigns, the CM Punk's. We're not talking about Solo. We look at Bobby the Brain. He's managing guys like Ric Flair and Andre the Giant or whatever. Like they're managing stars. It's not they took nobody and suddenly the guy on the microphone makes them a star. You got to be a star and you've got to be there already. And so I think if you put someone like a Don Kallus with a superstar, it might work. But if it's with someone who we don't even know, then I just start hating Don Kallus, but I'm never going to get to see him get beat up because he's never getting in the ring.
Yeah. The premise of a manager helping to take a wrestler to the next level, as opposed to helping them get to superstardom from stardom. You're right. But here's the main difference I see with Don Kallus. And you said, whether it be, you said Bobby Heenan, I'd put Jim Cornette in there, Paul Heyman. Yeah. Man, those guys, as good as they were on the mic, always stood behind their guys. Mm-hmm. They didn't stand in front of their guys. Kallus stands in front of his guys. And I think that's the biggest issue.
And I would agree. Jim Cornette goes in there as well. A lot of great managers out there. I get nervous when I start picking names because
I go Cornette, Heenan, Heyman as the top three ever.
No love for the Slickster. He was a Jive So Bro, guys.
Well, I'm going to put as the top four, I'm going to add Jimmy Hart just because I had a conversation with him and he was a delight.
So, did he say the word baby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You find out he said he didn't drink coffee either. I was like, how do you have that energy?
Last time I saw him, I just stared at his hair for 20 minutes.
he was great. So he was so nice to me and he was such a good dude. I'm like, OK, I'm a fan. If you're nice to me in person, I'm going to be a fan. That's all it takes. So we got a couple things that happened here. Mark Briscoe and Jack Perry have a run-in backstage during a promo. And then we get Takeshita, Fletcher, Strong, and Sabre versus Briscoe, O'Reilly, Martin, and Cassidy. Nonstop action, lots of exciting moments. Ends with the Briscoe team getting the win. Post-match, Jack Perry hits Dante Martin from behind. Takeshita hits Briscoe, Sabre, and Cassidy have a stare down. And George, I can hear Jimmy Corderas saying, there's too many potatoes for this bag.
I mean, it was what it was. Going back to what I mentioned earlier, the amount of talent in this match wasn't by any means bad. Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. I go into this with the expectation of what we're going to see, and I can't say I was disappointed in any way. Going back to last week, I thought that finish was a little surprising. I didn't think the heels were going to win, but going back to this week, it was what it was. I wasn't expecting anything bad. I wasn't expecting anything memorable.
Matt, this was, I think, actually a great kind of match to have in the middle of a show. Gets everyone excited, lots of movement, things are happening. I want to talk to you about the idea of a lot of these guys have matches with each other at the pay-per-view. And a lot of times people say you don't want necessarily people to have too much conflict before the pay-per-view, but sometimes people got to run into each other. Was this a good way to kind of preview what we're going to see at the pay-per-view, or did they take too much thunder out of what we're going to see at the pay-per-view by letting us see Zack Sabre Jr. versus Orange Cassidy already and whatnot?
Well, that's the question, right? This is the formula, right? You have guys in singles matches at the pay-per-view. You're going to put them in tag team matches leading up to the pay-per-view. You got guys in tag team matches at the pay-per-view. You're going to put them in singles matches leading up to the pay-per-view. It's just the way it is. And ideally, it's created to make you more interested in the match at the pay-per-view, I would think. You know, with AEW, they're very different, right? So it's like, ideally, their job is to make you go, holy crap, and put on this crazy spot fest, and who cares what happens at the pay-per-view. You know, one might be a little more entertaining for us tonight. One might be a little effective for them business-wise down the road.
Yeah, there was a few things. Like, at first I thought, okay, what they'll do is they'll just avoid the people who are going to have interactions, but they absolutely did not do that. It felt like they focused on that. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plans out. Let me know in the chat, everyone.
Zack Sabre Jr. looked like Giant Baba next to Orange Cassidy.
Zack Sabre Jr. is taller than you think.
He's like 6'3", I think. Like, I've seen him before, and he's
6'3", 150 pounds.
Yeah, he didn't register to me because back then he was really skinny, you know? He's put on probably 60, 70 pounds in the last 5 or 10 years.
I'm 6'1", so whenever I got to look up to somebody, I say they're bigger than you'd expect them to be. So 6'3", is a pretty tall,
it's a big dude.
Pretty tall cup of water. Is that the phrase I'm looking for?
I think you were talking about the chat, Jack.
Yes, I was going to say in the chat, what do you guys think about this, Matt? Do you think it's okay to have guys interact with each other like this, or would you rather they wait for the pay-per-view? Speaking of waiting for the pay-per-view, probably don't need to talk too much about it, but Mercedes Moné had a video package. Matt, how do you feel Mercedes has done selling this matchup to us with these video packages?
I don't care, you know, so not good. You know, it's crazy with Mercedes Moné because they had this opportunity to bring in this huge star and make the most of her. And then they just brought her in and they hid all of her good things. And they kind of made you think her things she hasn't done a whole bunch or kind of her good things. And then inexplicably without announcement, she just wrestles these two back-to-back matches on Dynamite that are fantastic. And you're just like, dude, that's it. She's like this wrestler. She's this wrestler who can really wrestle. Like she's, you know, really head and shoulders above almost everybody else on the roster. When you see her in the ring, she's fantastic. She sticks out. If you didn't know she was, you'd be like, my God,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. She's a heel.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm a big star from WWE. That's not babyface stuff. So they kind of blew all that. I think it's okay, but I think it's better if you just make Mercedes go full on heel, mad that people aren't chanting CEO, entitled, belligerent, but then gets in the ring and is dangerous as heck.
Yeah, I always say she is a 10 out of 10 as someone you want to boo. She is so good at that, and I'm a big believer. And if you can get someone who's a 10 out of 10 at something, make them that. Have them do that. George, what are your thoughts on this one? I feel like I'm more interested in seeing what her opponent does at this show. I feel like they've kind of sold her pretty well to me. I don't watch CMLL, so I haven't seen her matches before, but like, she seems like an incredible wrestler. I'm excited to see her. What say you?
Yeah, same thing. I just wish the finish wasn't as predictable as it was going to be. That's not their fault, though, because, I mean, that championship was specifically made. And this is no secret. That championship was specifically made for Mercedes to win. If it wasn't for her getting hurt, she'd be the champion. I don't know if she'd still be the champion, but she'd be the champion. I dig it. I mean, this is everything that we've asked for. Just, hey, let us know who these people are wrestling. Let us know who these people are. Give us a reason to care. And they're doing that, so I can't really complain about that. In regard to the whole Mercedes thing, though, it's like I don't think she's a big enough star to only be wrestling on pay-per-views, but I don't think she's a little enough star to to be wrestling so often either. Yeah, maybe a Dynamite here and there, but make it a big deal. And yeah, it really emphasizes the heel thing. Like Matt said, I've been saying this for weeks. Like, she is, like, even when her first match with Sky Blue, I'm like, dude, I feel bad for Sky Blue.
Fantastic.
I feel bad for Sky Blue because, like, she just showed that, like, she's got work to do to keep up with Mercedes. Not a knock on Sky Blue. It just, that's how fantastic Mercedes was. You know, and same thing with the one from last week. But, you know, make it a big deal. Make it as if, like, you know, I'm not an everyday wrestler.
Even announce it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe even do that.
To the point where, like, you know, you guys pay to see me, and I'm going to make sure that, you know, whether it's on pay-per-view, whether it's on TV, like, I'm going to make sure that you guys pay for me because I'm that good. And you guys are booing me because, you know, you guys hate to love the best.
Speaking of the best, the Young Bucks and the Acclaimed fighting for the tag team championships. What's that face, Matt? I can't make that transition.
The best what?
The best EVPs AEW's ever had.
Well, Cody, though. Okay, go ahead.
He's been redacted. He's not part of this. Okada cuts the music for Max Caster, cuts the mic, I should say. The story is Bowen's leg is hurt, but on his own, he continues to fight, eventually powers through, ducks a title attack, then gets the win for his team, and now his team gets a title shot at Forbidden Door. Matt, this takeaway for me was Anthony Bowens is a star. Like, it felt like this whole thing was about making Anthony Bowens, making sure we knew that he's tough and he can get wins.
Anthony Bowens is a star, but Max Caster's underrated. These two guys are a Tony Khan creation. He put them together. And of recent times, people are really getting behind Bowens, getting a little annoyed with Caster's online persona and rap persona. And there's been a kind of a swell to separate Bowens out because Bowens is the guy or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But, man, this tag team has been in trios hell for, like, the last 6 months. As a tag team, man, talking to Dax about it, man, Dax loves his tag team. He loves, and I just ripped off what he said. Bowens is great, and Max is underrated. He loves wrestling them. He thinks they're great. And as a tag team act, they still got legs, man, and I like them, and I want to see if we can really make this Acclaimed thing a real thing.
I love the Acclaimed, and I love Max Caster. Well,
everybody,
as well.
You know.
Everybody loves. I guess with tonight, George, I mean, it felt like so much of the match was Max Caster on the outside, Anthony Bowens fighting through the injury of the leg, fighting both Bucks at the same time. I agree with Matt. I would love to see. I'm not a huge fan of the six-man tag, the trios championships in general. But I would love to see this tag team either be a tag team, but I would also just love to see, I'd love to see more of Max and Anthony Bowens stand out like they did tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a fun match. I think this was probably the first match that the challenger or the non-champions won, like in one of these eliminator match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we saw it coming. Although, did they announce it for Forbidden Door? They just said, I don't know if they made it official. Am I wrong?
I don't know. It might not be.
I think they said they're getting a shot at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I'd assume it's at Forbidden Door. It'd be weird if it was just on, like, Collision this week. But,
well, it'd be weird to have two AEW acts on a show called Forbidden Door.
I mean, do we care?
I don't know. I mean, you can say the same about the actual main event. They're two AEW guys. But yeah, I mean, pretty much jumping on everything that said, it did feel that some of the magic was lost after, you know, their tag title run ended against the Guns. But I feel like we're getting it back slowly but surely. I like that they cut off Max Caster's rap because it always leave them wanting more because mm-hmm. it looked like he was going to get into it. My only, and this is such a nitpicky thing. I wish Okada would stop saying the B word so much. I just feel like it would mean more if it, now it just become predictable. Like, is that his act?
It's his catchphrase.
But it's like, is that going to be like his thing now? Like, now we know what he's going to say at the end of the sentence. When he did it at the Forum, when he said, hey, you know, shut up. And then the B words, I caught me by some, I'm like, oh my God, that is great timing. Now you do it after every time and you take away the great timing that exists.
You know, I was watching this show the other night called Who Killed WCW? I don't know if you heard of it. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it, and one of the things were these really overpaid, not overpaid, right? They're well-paid guys who were the heels of the company. But once they got that TV time and the attention, they could not resist being funny and cool. And what that is it created a lack of reason to want to beat them. It made them cool. And with Okada, he's funny. He's likable. He's compelling. They're leaning in. Matt and Nick are kind of being a little more cutesy. So they're really not exactly. We have a comment from Burner Account that said Okada has awesome comedic timing. They're supposed to be heels. They're supposed to be threatening the company. They just pile drove the owner of the company. Okay? And now we're laughing at Okada. I'm just saying it's a great way to not make money. Like, it's fun for the people like AEW, but if you don't want to make money, just be very, you know, mediocre about how you approach good guys and bad guys.
I do always think, and that's actually one of my big comments about the Elite right now and what they're doing, is I always say they need a killer. They need someone with like teeth that's like scared, like a Christian Cage, someone who isn't playing around, isn't there to have a good time, but is there to hurt people, is there to take advantage of people, and isn't being coy about it. I think that's what they need right now, because right now they're all so fun, and
you know, like,
they don't
be great?
Like a threat at all.
You know, it'd be great in there is Wardlow. Just kind of blaming Tony Khan for all the mishaps that's happened, how he pretty much jumped on MGF's back when, you know, he and Wardlow did everything right, but then TK would never give him the opportunities. But now he's with the, you know, the EVPs, the guys that's going to give them a final opportunity, or finally an opportunity, and to be that killer that you mentioned.
I don't know. I feel like that's starting to feel Don Callis family.
I like Satnam Singh in the role. I think I'm joking. I don't at all. Hey, I do have something to say about this match, though, if we're still talking about this match.
Yeah, bring it.
So I think I figured something out, because I've been watching these Bucks, you know, and then every time I see these Bucks, they have Rick Knox as the referee. You know, Rick Knox, who famously almost let John Moxley just perish in the middle of the ring. But Rick Knox is always their ref. So watching this match, I'm pretty sure he does not really understand what a tag team match is. Like, I think that's the issue. I'm always wondering, why is he doing this? Why is he doing... I don't think he understands. I think anyone's ever pulled Rick Knox aside and explained the Australian rules tag team match. You know, the counts, the ropes, the whole thing. Because every time I see Rick Knox in a match, it's just pure bedlam the whole time. So I think maybe someone could just explain to him, like, it's called a tag team match because you touch the other guy and they come in. Like, he needs a full orientation.
Well, maybe I was actually thought you were going to go a different way. He's always the guy who's the ref. I thought they were, why don't we do a Nick Patrick deal where he's like an NWO ref, except he's
that would actually make sense.
And he starts saying, hey, I work for the boss. They pay me. So I'm going to make sure that they win. That's where I would have gone with it. But
I'm saying that would make sense, which means AEW would never do that.
Like, why did stand outside the ropes at all if Rick Knox is reffing? Just sit in the corner. And just come in when you feel like it. Get out when you don't feel like it. Bring a baseball bat. It's all good.
We move on to the contract signing. And it's Mariah May. She wants everyone to get along. Mina Shirakawa wants Mariah May to choose between her and Toni Storm. And then Saraya comes out with Harley Cameron and Anna Jay. They attack all three of them. Toni ends up going through a table to save Mariah. But Mariah leaves Tony behind to stand with Shirakawa. George, my pros on this is we got six women's wrestlers all in the ring, all with a story tied to them. My cons with this is it feels like there's a lot of stuff implied, but not actually said.
Does that mean that I want to call it a bad thing? Yeah, I mean, I really like this storyline. I think this is one of the best women's storylines that they've had, just because it's something, right? It's something. Like, it's not just two random people, not just three random people. There's a lot of story to it, and they didn't just assume that, oh, because we watch AEW, we should know what the story is. They actually done a really good job actually explaining the story to the point where, you know, which side is she going to choose? This is one of, in my opinion, one of the best stories that they've had. I mean, there was a lot going on in terms of when Saraya came out and whatnot, and kind of going back to what you mentioned earlier. Now we're going to see a trios match with all six of them next week. But I dig it. I like that they're not, because I'm not saying they can or they can't, but it just let the fans figure out whatever they want to think in regards to your list of cons.
Matt, is the story between Mariah May, Toni Storm, and Mina Shirakawa overshadowing the fact that the championship is on the line here? And does the addition of the other three just sort of muddy the waters, or do you think that this makes it feel more exciting?
I think it makes it feel more exciting. I pitched to somebody in AEW, I was saying to somebody who works there, that, you know, the ratings always dip in the women's segments. It's just the way it is right now. It says nothing about the quality. So, I think in the women's segments, they should just go for it. Just get nuts. Because all they have to do is raise those women's segments up a bit, and their rating, that's going to be the biggest difference maker for AEW, is if the women's ratings go up in a substantial way. Man, and this is the kind of stuff they need to be doing. Why isn't there ever any, like, big angle for the women's division? Like last night at Raw, they murdered, like, 11 people, right? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big angle, I'd say. We don't, you know, the NWO, you know, DX or whatever. We've never seen that in a women's division. And the women's division is something, just by its design, you can have it separate from the rest of the company. So why not have, like, the big, crazy, meta women's angle and get these women's segments up? Because you saw it. I saw two segments in a row. I'm like, well, they sure have a lot of talent now. What are they going to do with them? Why not? A big, giant, crazy, huge angle.
I would love to see that, because especially in AEW, where you're right, it's a place where they can, even a small improvement is going to be big percentage wise. So I think that would be a good thing for them. And I want to transfer that over to the round one Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Chris Statlander took on Nyla Rose, a slugfest of a matchup. Statlander hitting a big tombstone to get the win. She'll now go on to face the winner between Willow and Serena Deeb. George, Nyla Rose got a great reaction. I believe it was her hometown, but still, I consider she hasn't been on TV. Pretty cool to see she got a great reaction. I would love to see both these two on TV more.
I love to see Nyla Rose. I feel like when she first started, or when AEW first started, that was she had a lot of TV time. Kind of being that monster that she can be, and really being a real force in the women's division. And and who knows when we're going to see her again. I don't watch Ring of Honor, so I don't know how often she's on Ring of Honor. She's definitely not been on Rampage or Collision. So I'd like to see more of her. I think she's great. And this match is kind of reminded me of that kind of the Haas match that we usually see in the men's division. The strength on Statlander was absolutely insane. But just a little prediction. I don't think Willow's going to win next week. I feel like it'd be too soon to kind of see that match between Willow and Chris Stat just on a random Collision or something like that.
Well, that was actually what I was going to mention to Matt. Do you want to see these kind of stories that have been building, do you want to make sure they stay separate in the tournament, or would you rather see them collide in the tournament?
They have to collide in the tournament. They have to collide. It makes it more interesting. You just got to be creative in the way that you do it, you know? You can't ignore them, you know? As far as Nyla Rose goes, you know, if you've watched AEW from the beginning, unfortunately, sometimes you get a little feeling about people, you know, people signed with a lot of, you know, on TV a lot at the beginning and then less and less and less. And you feel like Nyla Rose is one of those people who's short for the world of AEW. However, and it's also very Tony Khan to bring her back for her hometown. It's amazing. You know, that's very Tony. He's great like that. But much like Danhausen and a lot of other people, she has really... She's really made a great social media presence and created a character around herself. And there's a groundswell around her. She's going to be able to make a living in wrestling for a very long time and won't have to take a million bumps to do it. So I think she's going to be fine, but I wish AEW used her more.
Yeah, I would definitely love to see her more. We got a couple backstage segments. Private Party and the Learning Tree teaches us a little bit about Lucha Libre. And Samoa Joe and Hook have a little chat before trying to attack the Premier Athletes, but finding out they're instead going to have a six-man tag team match on Collision. George, any quick thoughts on these quick backstage segments?
Gee, I wonder who's going to win that match between Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata and the Premier Athletes. Whatever. I like that one promo that we saw with like Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy, and Jungle Boy comes in. Mark Briscoe is just a delight on the mic. Mm-hmm. Although I did have an idea once I saw, and this is just I've had some couple marketing ideas going back to Tiffany Stratton brand watches. You know, that way it's Tiffy time. Why don't they? Maybe the best friends aren't a thing anymore. But why don't they ever do friendship bracelets?
Well, he gave one to
that they can sell on shopaew.com.
I think they just didn't think about it until now. I mean, you can't get mad at them for not thinking about it till now if you didn't think about it till now. It's a little unfair.
Well, it's kind of their job, though.
They're getting paid to do that. It's like the creative team not having anything for you. Then don't call yourself the creative team.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Matt, how do you like, I don't think I've talked to you yet about the Learning Tree or Samoa Joe and Hook. How do you like these two groups? I did not like the Learning Tree, has totally grown on me. Love it now. And I like the way Samoa Joe and Hook have little chats about nonsense before going to attack people.
I like Samoa Joe and Hook. I don't think it's the best use of Shibata. I think his the stuff he can bring to the table has been wasted. As far as the Jericho thing, the Learning Tree with Jericho, I guess the best way I can put it is, Jack, I've had a very long life and I had a very traumatic childhood, like very bad traumatic. I would rather experience the worst moments of my childhood on a loop than have to watch another Chris Jericho moment. Now, let me explain something to you, Jack.
I like that we're laughing.
Let me just tell you, I was dropped off at an orphanage by my mother. Okay, this really happened. I would rather live that moment over and over again than ever see Chris Jericho ever again on TV doing this character. I'm not joking. It is the worst thing that has ever existed on this planet ever. I say that without hyperbole.
I love it. I am so into it. We would be two total polar opposites watching this. I think it's so funny. I enjoy it. I mean, I'm not going to fault you for not liking it, but.
But he is definitely doing a Tony Khan, though. Like, he's definitely doing a Tony Khan impression. You know, not the whole thing, but the hi guys and the bye guys.
George Costanza doing Larry David on Seinfeld is what you're saying?
A little bit, yeah. But yeah, it's definitely Tony Khan.
Brian Keith is still the best part of that. Or I guess you could say the only good part of it. And then going back to what I said earlier, like, see, Shibata, I know his gimmick is a little like, hey, I'm going to do the voice to text the Japanese thing. What was the last part of his promo? The B word. Like, it just doesn't mean anything anymore. If Okada's going to take it, at least let it be his and not have other people saying it to him.
George, I think you need to cut Shibata some slack. His brain was taken out and put back in. And put back in, according to Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. So anybody whose brain was taken out and put back in maybe should get a little more deference, George.
All right.
Yeah, that is fair. That's pretty intense. Let's move on. This has become a very intense part.
I've messed you up today, Jack Farmer. I'm so sorry.
This whole thing is so bad. And now Flobo's in the chat. Things couldn't get worse. Daniel Garcia and Rhett Titus had a quick match. Garcia got a quick win. But then Daddy Magic and he get attacked by Cage of Anthony for getting involved in their business last week. MJF doesn't come down to make the save. He comes down to teach the Cage of Agony a lesson for talking smack earlier. Numbers are too great until Will Ospreay comes out to make the save. And we get Ospreay and MJF back to back. We get a stare down and Garcia stares down the International Championship. Later, Cage challenges for the International Championship. Matt, again, I said it before, I'll say it again. I can hear Jimmy somewhere. complaining about not having enough bag for all these potatoes.
You know, it was okay. You know, one objection is that I think some of these would have been better without the music playing. You know, like if MJF running to the ring would surprise people. Osprey, oh my God, running the ring without, you know. At the same time, it was a kind of cheesy thing I've seen a million times. I was half expecting Frankie Kazarian to drop off a red X on top of everybody. You know, I've seen this kind of thing before.
George, I love Daniel Garcia. I'm a huge Daniel Garcia fan. So him getting a win, a dominant win, is great to me. Him looking like he's a part of some kind of rivalry is great to me. I also like that we're teasing Osprey versus MJF, because that's something I think we all want to see. I feel like it got a little squished for time, but what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like that this is on Dynamite and not a throwaway show like a Rampage, because this was totally a Rampage match, but it's about getting Daniel Garcia some spotlight. I'm all for that. I think he's a guy that they're see a lot in, so anytime they're going to sit there and put all that energy into him, I think is a win. Essentially, like, what was the main goal of what they tried to do? What I took away was that tease between Ospreay and MJF. So what is it that we need to do just surrounding that to make it all together? Maybe it was a little too much to have all these components as far as Daddy Magic, Gates of Agony, and you know, just if that's what we're trying to get, then, you know, what do we need to do to get there? And so yeah, it was a little too much, but, you know, came in, it went.
When Brian Cage appears, you know it's too much. That's a good general rule. When Brian Cage comes in, you know it's not attached to anything, and it's just that now we've done it. We've passed the tipping point.
Would you like to see Cage get the international championship so that he has something and Ospreay can just focus on the world title?
Maybe, but like, I think the way that Tony Khan's doing it now is like all the best wrestlers have the titles. He feels good about that. He's got Okada comes in title, Ospreay comes in title. You know, so he wants them on his dudes, you know, Swerve, you know, Bucks, they're on his dudes. And I think he's going to keep them on the dudes until they get on another dude. And I don't think Cage has ever been that dude.
Someone who is trying to be that dude is Pac, as he takes on Claudio Castagnoli in round one of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. It's a really good one with Pac eventually getting the win. And then Claudio refuses to shake Pac's hand afterwards. I was really shocked by the outcome of this one. I thought this was Claudio's to win. George, you look surprised I say that. Did you think this was Pac's to win?
I think no matter who won, it was a win-win in any case scenario. Like this, I was looking forward to this match once it got announced. The Battle of the Forgotten First Names, right? Adrian versus Antonio. But if anything, I was shocked on how the finish came about, because we don't really see those kind of finishes from, you know, roll. Oh, wait, that was the one that kind of got it. So I dug it. I think this is everything that I wanted it to be, and I have zero complaints on the outcome. I thought either one winning would not have shocked me, because this is just how good these two guys are, and especially with the trajectory of each of their careers.
Matt, the world loves Claudio. Claudio did not shake Pac's hand after the match. Are we ready for a heel Claudio?
I mean, what's going to be the difference? Like, he'll scowl and put his feet on the ropes to win? Like, is that basically? Because here's the problem. Like, I got Claudio versus Pac. I got the greatest base who's ever existed versus, you know, one of the top two or three high flyers in the game now, one of the greatest of all time. And I'm not really looking forward to it that much. And I realized in AEW canon, I do not know who these guys are. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they are. I know Pac stares. He's angry, right?
He's a bastard.
Yeah, I know Claudio's like, you know, like he's a nice guy, but he's a good wrestler. He's Swiss. And he wrestled with Chris Hero a while ago. And he was, you know, like, I want to care about these people, and that's going to make me care about the matches. I knew that Claudio was going to throw Pac at some point 75 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm for it. I want to see it every day. I'll watch it on a loop. But, man, I just think this is a great example of two guys that the fans aren't as into as they could be, because all they're connected to is their wrestling. That's it. Wrestling, which is great. But, dude, can you imagine the wrestling with some 3D characters? Then it would be something to see, and everybody would have been on their feet the whole time.
I agree. I think they both do need some more character work so I can know who they are instead of what they do. You know, our favorite athletes are the ones who have a little bit of character to them.
Here's, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just rude. I have no other thing to say. Think about this. Conor McGregor. Do you know what weight class Conor McGregor is? Like, really? But he's a featherweight, really. You know what I'm saying? He came in as one of a million featherweight champions. He's one of 10 UFC champions. Why is he getting all that money? Why is he so popular? Why him? Why not Dustin Poirier? Why not freaking even Anderson Silva, who had so much more success and was such an icon in the ring? Conor just decided to do it. It's all characterization. It's all character. And if you saying that Conor McGregor needs character and saying that Pac and Cesaro don't need character, you are out of your mind, because that's why you can't get into that man's weigh-ins.
I would even say, I'd take that a step further and say even Jake Paul in boxing. Same thing. We're all paying to see this guy lose.
Amazing.
Because people don't like him.
I would say too, just because like, you know, we were talking about the injuries earlier with Adam Page and Ibushi, especially somebody like Ibushi. I know he's, you know, from Japan, but like he's a lot of these guys that are known for their high flying and the aerial type moves, they get one injury and they maybe can't do those things anymore. So what do you have to fall back on? You got to fall back in the character. I think of Brian Pillman, where he got into that motorcycle accident, or even maybe before then, he was like, dude, I need to be more character. And look what happened. He became so ahead of his time to the point where, like, we can't even imagine the great things that he would have done in the Attitude Era. You got to be more than one dimension, because something would happen where they take something away that you can't do anymore. You know, I'm going to call him Adrian Neville. If Pac can't do, for whatever reason, the flips anymore, then what does he have left? Like, you know, you got to be more than what you got in the ring.
That's when fundamentals come into play, right? I think about Michael Jordan leaving for baseball, coming back a little bit thicker, a little bit heavier, a little bit slower. He developed his turnaround jumper. He had so many fundamentals he could rely on and grow on. Meanwhile, Dominique Wilkins blew out his Achilles. That man was done, because all he had was the explosiveness. And so if you don't have the fundamentals, which these guys probably do, but in wrestling, the fundamentals is personality, is charisma.
I love Secular Belt's comment here. Tim Duncan in basketball, vastly overshadowed by other personalities. Tim Duncan,
top three of all time.
I mean, you look at his stats and they are bananas. How
better than Kobe.
But yeah, you're right. But we talk about all the major characters.
I saw Duncan play his first NBA preseason game, because I was a Wizards fan. Wizards had Weber, Juwan Howard, and just drafted Rasheed Wallace. Big dudes, right? Big mobile guys. Tim Duncan out of Wake Forest, first game, he tore them boys up. And I was just like, oh my God, this guy. Because you never know, first pick out of college, you never know.
Yeah.
I saw his first preseason game, and I was like, well, that's a wrap, because those other guys I mentioned didn't want it as bad to work as hard as him. Sorry, but Tim Duncan's awesome, and I'm going to go ahead and stipulate all three of us are there together.
It's funny, because like, and now I'm just sidetracking. Everybody remembers that Derek Fisher shot with 0.4 seconds against the Spurs. What people forget is the shot before that by Tim Duncan was like 10 times more difficult. Like, Shaq, Penn, and I played better defense, and Tim Duncan still made that miraculous shot. Anybody look it up, and you'll see it's phenomenal.
Well, next week on the Wrestling Inc. Old Basketball Podcast, we'll dive more into that. I want to round things out, though, with a little bit of predictions for the Owen Hart tournament. Now, we have all the names. We've got a couple of winners already, and if we're cheating, I think we got a couple who are wrestling right now on Rampage. But I want to get your guys' predictions. I'm going to start first. George, we'll start with you first. Men's bracket. We've got Pac has made it to the second round. But then we've got Danielson versus Takagi, Phoenix versus Jay White, Jeff Jarrett versus Wild Card. How do you see this one going? And who do you think Wild Card is? And who do you think's winning it? What's your predictions?
That Wild Card's throwing me off, because I would love to see like Jeff Jarrett in the finals. When I saw his name in the tournament, I was like, this, like, yes, like 1000% yes. This one's hard. I see Brian Danielson and Pac in the next round, with Danielson being in the finals. I see Jay White and whoever Wild Card is. So it's probably going to be, my prediction is Danielson against Jay White in the finals, with Danielson winning.
Who do you want to throw out a name for the Wild Card?
Dude, that's tough. Because it can be anybody. Like, do you put Adam Page back? But it's too soon. I don't think they said he was going to come back in July. Is it somebody in the company? Is it somebody not in the company? Like, I am drawing such a blank right now in terms of who it can be.
I mean, there is one and only name that is rattling around in my head, Matt. But what are your thoughts? What's your prediction? So, by the way, George, who is your prediction to win?
Oh, I see what you did. I guess Ricochet. Brian Danielson.
I didn't say Ricochet.
So, the mystery person is facing who? Jared.
Yes.
And they face the winner of what?
Phoenix and Jay White.
Hmm.
Interesting. Because if it was Danielson, I would say Nigel McGuinness would be a possibility. But, Ricochet looks like a fair shot. I think they're going Ricochet, Osprey, and All In. And I think Danielson's going to win because the winner goes to All In, right, for the championship?
Yep.
So got to do that, you know? And, tournaments are fine and all. You know, it's cool. I'm glad they have stakes, but... I was just waiting for the show to end because I wasn't really invested in the tournament yet.
Well, I'm actually really invested in it. I can't wait to see how this one pans out. I'm kind of bummed out. Jeff Jarrett's not going to make it all the way. I don't think. I have a feeling the wild card is going to make it to the finals because that's just how it usually goes. Jeff Jarrett, I also can see why he wouldn't make it to the end just off of the stature of some of the people in the tournament. But just historically, It'd be kind of cool to see Jarrett make it all the way through. I agree. I think Danielson's winning the whole thing. I'm just going to say Ricochet is the wild card. Could be anybody, though. I'm going to say Danielson wins. And frankly, I want him to face Swerve, and I want Swerve to beat him in Wembley to really solidify Swerve's run. On the women's side, we've got Statlander has made it through to the second round. The other people in the tournament are Willow and Serena Deeb, Deonna Purrazzo and Hikaru Shida, Mariah May and Soraya. Matt, who do you have winning?
Probably Mariah or Deonna. I think Deonna got kind of a raw deal going up against Toni Storm. And Toni Storm's supposed to be a heel, but everybody loves her. You know, I think she deserves another shot. And Mariah May, of course, is... the diva of the future in that division. She's amazing. So we'll just start lining up the accolades for that one.
Yeah, I got to agree. I think that the story is already built in there too, because she's going to end up having to face either one of her friends here. So I think that's already a built-in story. Seems to make sense to me. George, though I do agree, I feel like there's a few people in here I want to win it because I feel like they deserve a little better, like Hikaru Shida and Purrazzo as well. But George, what are your thoughts? Who's winning it?
I'm going to hate to agree, but I'm going to have to go with Mariah May. I still think that Willow's going to lose next week. I really don't want to see that match in the tournament. I feel like whenever you have a one-on-one match with two women that doesn't have any kind of like title match implications or things like that, I think it's going to be a plus. I think that match is going to happen, and it should happen at All In, Willow versus Stat. That's, you know, history in the making. I think the finals is going to be Stat versus Mariah May, with Willow costing Chris that match. Mariah May is going to beat Hikaru Shida next week and then win the whole thing and go on to All In. And that's it's going to be another cool story that we're going to see.
So those are our predictions. Everyone in the chat and everyone in the comments and everyone in the 5-star reviews that you're all going to be leaving after this is over. Let us know your predictions as well there. I'd love to know if you guys think we got it right. Let me know who you think the wild card is going to be. What if it's Satnam Singh? We never know. Could be anybody. But before we go, Matt, any final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Final thoughts. It was another fun yet somewhat tedious episode of Dynamite. You can reach me over at Matt Coon Music. I teach music. I'm going to be sending a bunch of my kids to a music camp, so I'm going to be raising money to do that over the next couple months, and I'm probably going to be giving away some wrestling memorabilia, like maybe that signed Terry Funk bat with the barbed wire over there. Like, that might be something people might like. So just saying, I'm gonna send my kids. I don't care how much of my crap I gotta sell. So follow me on at Matt Coon Music.
And just so people know that you're not just some guy when it comes to making music, You've done some stuff most wrestling fans have heard. What are some of the songs that maybe wrestling fans have heard that you've done?
I did the first FTR song for AEW, the one that everybody didn't like as much as the one now. Steve Macklin uses my song in TNA. Deonna Purrazzo used my song in TNA for years and years. And,
that was a good one.
Oh, thanks, man. I loved it. I worked really hard on it. And then, like any kind of like the Arn Anderson podcast theme, the Something to Wrestle With theme. If you heard Tony Schiavone's theme and you heard that the Billy Joel parody that used to bring it in, that was I wrote it and sang it and played it, and so a lot of music stuff, and I spend my days with my amazing students who play at a very high level. And so we're going to take him to Tennessee to go see my good friend, Victor Wooten, the greatest bass player alive. Ooh. And he has a camp, and we're bringing my kids out there. And so we're going to raise a bunch of money for that, because it ain't cheap, but it's worth it.
And we got a lot of people already excited about Armando talking about that Terry Funk bat and man cave session, saying that's awesome. George, how about you? What were your overall thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
I've been really digging Dynamite. I know it sounds like I got some criticism, but overall, I think it's always an enjoyable, not always, but I think for the most part, it's an enjoyable show. It's been an enjoyable show for the past couple weeks. I feel like with Forbidden Door season, you know, we're seeing a lot more, not just in this company, but we're seeing in, you know, a lot of companies. But yeah, just overall, you know, I think it's great how, you know, Matt Coon spends his day, you know, doing a lot of those cool things. I spend my day working hard on the go with the hand on the clock to keep spinning too slow.
That was my transition, by the way. And by the way, I actually taught that song to Nikolai Volkoff, because we, you know, when Pritchard Show first started, it was me, Silva, Conrad, and Bruce. So the live shows, just the four of us. So Nikolai was the guest, and so he was going to come out and sing. So I had to go back there and be like, all right, Nikolai, here's how it goes. And it was pretty awesome, I got to say. I have a very strong history with that stupid song.
Two Super says, that's a wild, by the way.
were you at the LA show for Survivor Series weekend?
What, the Bruce show?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I was at that one. No.
Okay. I was there. Yeah. I was there.
I've been to a bunch, you know, and then I stopped doing Bruce because I got opportunities elsewhere, you know. But it's crazy when you think about where Bruce was, us driving around from town to town, to him running WWE right now. It's insanity, you know. But I'm happy for Bruce, because Bruce deserves it. He gets a lot of bad flack, and I actually do like Bruce Pritchard.
I was just asking, because like I went with Steve Kaufman, and he got us, like, you know, before the show. So I'm like, I was hanging out in that lounge with like Bruce, Conrad, a couple others. I'm like, oh, I wonder if Matt Kuno is one of those others. But
yeah, those are fun times, and I love Steve very much. Steve and I are on very good terms. I like him very much.
Yeah, yeah. I text him all the time with little tidbits, because the guy's a genius, whether people know it or not. And speaking of Steve Kaufman, he's been helping me a lot with my YouTube channel, the Wrestling Chatter, TW Chatter on Twitter, all the social medias. I got some other stuff coming on. I was just talking to Jack earlier before we went on about I was emailing with a former WCW and WWF superstar on having him come on, do an interview on the Wrestling Chatter. So subscribe and check it out.
Yeah, you'll definitely have to check out the Wrestling Chatter. Lots of cool interviews over there. And you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm going to be calling the action for Santino Bros Wrestling tomorrow, which you can see live for free on YouTube. So why don't you check it out tomorrow? It's a Thursday. That's going to be fun. Or if you're in town, come see the show. Hit me up on social media at Real Jack Farmer once again.
Where's town? Where's town for your show, Jack?
In Azusa, California, so north of LA.
If you're within driving distance of Jack Farmer and you do not go see the show, you're going to hell.
Oh, crap, I'm going to hell.
That's true. It's absolutely true. We got to deal with the devil. It's part of the deal. So, but yeah, come see the show. It'll be great. Or again, check it out for free on YouTube. That does it for us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all of the wrestling news out there. And also make sure to tune in on Friday for the SmackDown after show. And I think that crew is going to be Glenn and Bobo. I don't remember who's on this week, but check it out. It'll be a surprise for all of us.
Until then,
always have a good one. And I'm going to hit the end stream button.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.